When amnesty for an estimated 5 million illegal aliens was announced via Obama's executive orders, there were many who cheered the single action. What those people fail to understand is how that one act, much like maybe tossing a stone into a lake, for example, creates ripples, which are very far-reaching. I guess in her recent article for the Fiscal Times, writes about the pluses and minuses of amnesty for illegals and joins us now to share some of these facts. She is a veteran of Wall Street, who now is a columnist for FoxNews.com and the aforementioned, the Fiscal Times. She also appears on the Fox Business Network. Good morning, Liz Peek. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm terrific. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Liz's place on the web among many, but the easiest one to use as a launching point is Liz Peek, P-E-E-K.com. You can find her articles or writings and other parts of the world of Liz. And that really is true that people look at this one action, the executive order for amnesty, and that's the period end of the sentence. They don't look at the next part of the equation, do they?
Well, I think it's been sold sort of untruthfully, just like Obamacare was sold on the basis of a bunch of lies. In this case, we have Joe Biden, among others, coming out and saying this is going to be a great boon to our economy and estimating that it would be a $1.4 trillion boost to the economy. And I think, you know, if you dig into the numbers a little bit, you just find that that really is very unlikely. First of all, you have to deal with the fact that mostly we're talking here about illegal immigrants who are Hispanic, and about 37% of Hispanic adults have not graduated high school. They're in minimum wage jobs at best. Very few earn over $50,000 a year, and none of that is meant to be unpleasant. It's just those people do not tend to contribute to the government in terms of taxes and so forth. In other words, if you put them, give them all a Social Security number, the truth is it's going to be a tremendous drain down the road on Medicare and Social Security, because such people tend to take out of those systems 2 to 3 times what they pay in. So what's likely to happen here, I'm assuming, is that Congress will ask the Congressional Budget Office, our official bean counters, to look at the cost of this program. And because they usually deal in 5-year outlook or 10-year outlook at the most, it'll indeed look positive probably, because some people will be paying in Social Security payroll taxes that they haven't previously. But over the course of their working lives, it's likely to be a pretty substantial drain. The Heritage Foundation, one of their fellows, has said this whole thing is going to cost $2 trillion. I don't know if that's correct, but he says the impact on Social Security and Medicare could be $1 trillion. Again, I don't know if the math is right, but I think directionally it is right.
You mentioned Joe Biden with this. Would that be the same Joe Biden who called the summer of jobs a couple of years ago, calling for 600,000 new jobs a month? I just want to be sure we're talking about the same Joe Biden here.
It's the same Joe Biden who this week had a group of girls into the White House, young girls, to talk about coding or something, and literally said to them, "Boy, you guys are almost as smart as boys."
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
You just have to love Joe Biden, and I am just so disappointed that he's not going to make a credible run for president. It would be so entertaining.
The basic math of the matter is, and I think the working estimate is, for every dollar that these, at least so far, 5 million illegal aliens who are getting the amnesty are going to wind up putting into the various programs through legitimate payroll deductions or higher payroll deductions, whatever the path happens to be. Nevertheless, they're going to be into the system such a short time that the working ratio is they're going to get $3 out of the system that they put $1 into.
Well, that's part of it. And part of it is just they don't earn very much money. Without education in this country, and unfortunately, a lot of these folks don't have education, only about 15% of this population right now earns more than $50,000 a year. So mostly they'll be getting tax credits and so forth. If you look at there have been some studies done by Pew mainly. Pew does a lot of research on the Hispanic community. And they maintain that the people they looked at, the undocumented Hispanics, are paying about the same tax rate as people who are on the books, which is interesting, right? Because the concept is we're going to take them out of the shadows, we're going to make them legal, and all of a sudden, boom, there's going to be a huge surge in tax revenues. Not so fast, because, in fact, a lot of them will be getting tax credits back. The other thing that's very interesting is if you look to the kinds of studies put out by pro-immigrant groups that argue for this kind of program, the reason they're optimistic about tax collections, and they know better because they know what the earnings are at this group, is because they think the earnings will go up. Why? Because they will be able to argue better for higher wages, and there's probably some truth in that. I mean, people who are able to move freely between jobs have a little bit better bargaining power. But also, the code word here is that they'll improve their job skills. What I think this is all about is that there's an anticipation that they will be, you know, basically joining unions. And we know that the SEIU and various other labor groups have been very insistent on providing amnesty to a lot of the illegals living here. Unions are dying in this country, and this is a big source of new blood for them. So when they talk about improving their job skills, better bargaining power, what they're really saying is, look, they're going to become union members, and yes, the cost of hiring these people will go up. Will that create jobs and boost the economy? I don't know. I'm doubtful.
Talking with Liz Peek from the Fiscal Times, as well as FoxNews.com. You also see her on the Fox Business Network, Liz Peek, P-E-E-K.com on the web. And you're all listening to Issues and Ideas. Not like too many of my business, I actually, when something like this comes out, I usually sit down and read the details of the executive order rather than relying on an AP summary and things like that. And one of the claims is that this amnesty for the $5 billion will grow the workforce and encourage more business startups. Well, in a way, yeah, because hidden deep within the bowels of this executive order, if I understand it right, is a $3,000 incentive for businesses to hire these illegals.
Well, exactly. And I think, look, there are many parts of the immigration puzzle that need to be solved. I have written many times, and I think most people agree, that if we have people coming from other parts of the world to go to school here and they earn advanced degrees at universities that are partially funded by taxpayers, as most of our universities are, and they're really highly capable people, it really makes no sense to spend all this money on their education and then get no benefit from it by sending them home. So I think there should be much more flexibility in allowing advanced degree students in the U.S. from foreign countries to stay and earn a living here. But, you know, we never look, and so anyway, that part of it, in terms of, you know, could we be throwing out today would-be entrepreneurs, job startup people, et cetera, the answer is yes, and that's a stupid policy. At the heart of this is, I don't know that we have ever stood back, including the Senate when they passed their bill and crafted legislation about this, and really tried to figure out what is in the United States' best interest. For example, most of the people who come here now overstay their visas, so we should be looking at what kind of enforcement or what kind of penalties might accrue to people who come here and simply overstay their visas. Secondly, what is economically in the best interest of the country? Is it necessarily the case that if someone comes into our country legally, then their entire extended family should be welcomed as well? I don't know. I mean, I don't really see why that benefits us. Then there are people admitted simply because from their countries we don't have many current occupants. It's the dumbest policy. It's sort of like, okay, you know, very few people came from Nepal last year, so let's get more people in from Nepal. I mean, I just don't know that we've ever said, okay, who do we really want coming to this country? We want people who are educated or who are willing to be educated. We are open to people who are enthusiastic about the United States and our way of life and our culture and our language. We want people who are going to do well and contribute. I mean, does that sound harsh? I don't think so. I think it sounds pragmatic.
That's one of the reasonable arguments, too. People say that visa program for those who want to grow their education and become a productive part of America, that visa program is something that needs to be expanded. And at the same time, you have groups like La Raza and other pro-illegal immigrant organizations who say, well, $5 million amnesty, that's a nice start. And you look at the Republican sides, Jeb Bush, for example, telling the GOP establishment, just let it ride, let it go. And they're trying to pander and expand a Hispanic vote base, and that's all they see it as. Again, a single action, we're looking in a single path, and in something like this. There's a lot of tentacles off of the octopus that can strangle a lot of elements of programs that people do rely on right now, never mind will rely on in the future. You want fairness, you want opportunity, and you want law and order in a democracy and a republic such as we have. And this whole idea of amnesty throws a lot of that into a yellow zone, not necessarily a red zone yet, but to be determined. Learn more and follow along with this issue and other things that is worthy of your focus. That's what Liz Peek's writing is all about. You can see her work and learn more about her insight into these matters at Liz Peek, PEEK.com. Writes for the FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times, also appears on the Fox Business Network. Liz Peek, thanks for being here this morning.
Listen, thanks very much for having me. Take care now.